is based on where? The Bible. Right? On the Bible. Okay? So that's the truth. That's it, that he's talking about in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And you see, the church has been commissioned to fulfill the Great Commission, which is the last commandment of the Lord before he left. So the commission was given to the apostles first, who were the representatives of these churches. Okay? So we see that the forsaking, the assembling for ourselves together is really important. It's very important. Number two, to neglect the assembly, to neglect the church assembly is spiritually dangerous. It's spiritually dangerous. You see, as the church needs every believer, in return, every believer needs the church. Okay? Every believer needs the church. Every believer needs the church's ministry of teaching and shepherding. Okay? It is a matter of spiritual wisdom and safety. And you see, just as a child needs a parent to look after them, to take care of them, to nurture them, the child of God also needs the pastor and a fellowship with fellow believers to really grow, and guess what? To seek refuge. We know we can go to Christ as because he's our refuge, but also the church is there for our own safety because it guides us, it teaches us, it encourages us in the ways of the Lord, right? So the church is the local manifestation of the family of God. And it is where the child of God finds shelter and assistance in this dangerous world. Okay, so number three, so the assembly of ourselves together is important. The assembly is also, to neglect it, is spiritual dangers. And number three, we see the importance of exhortation. Okay, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly for ourselves together, as the manner of Psalm is, but what? Exhorting one another. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we see the importance of the ministry of exhortation. The believer should not only attend the assembly or the being the church merely to be a spectator. Right? Or just to sit down and warm up the pew, and then after that, you know, chat with someone and then leave. Right? We're not supposed to be just as spectators or merely even to learn, but we should attend to contribute something. We attend to contribute something. We should be there, you and I should be here in the church, you know, to exhort, to encourage the brothers and sisters in Christ, and to challenge them as well. You see, some people say, well, how are you doing? How are you doing? Do we mean that when we ask someone that? Or it's just whatchamacallit? It's a...
greeting.
Sorry?
Greeting.
It's a greeting?
Yeah.
Yes, it is a greeting, but it's just a habit of saying, right? It's just a habit for, you know, just so you can say something. But do you really care when you say, oh, how are you doing? Maybe it's even better. How was your Bible reading this week? How was it with our God today, this week? Did you experience any blessing? Right? Instead of just saying, how are you doing? Well, that's good and dandy. But the thing is, we need to be able to mean what we say, mean what we ask, and care about the other person, right? So we need to challenge each one to speak a word of warning as needed. Because let's face it, we're all facing this world, you know, there's a chance that we are being influenced by the world. Because 6 days we're in the world, It's not just one day. It's not one day, but it's just what? 2 hours, 3 hours. And the rest of the week is spent outside interacting with the unbelievers, right? And so the pull of the world is greater when we spend more time with the unbelievers, right? So the word exhort is from the Greek word parakleo, and means to call near, to invite, or to invoke, right? Or desire, comfort, beseech. And guess what? To exhort also means to pray for each other. You know that? Are we praying for each other? Okay, so number three, we see the importance of the ministry of exhortation, and fourthly, faithfulness to the house of God will be increasingly important as the coming of Christ draws near. The verse says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Right? And what is that day approaching? It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right?
So the New Testament warns that apostasy will increase throughout the church age. Apostasy. That means backsliding, pulling out of the faith, pulling away from the faith. That's apostasy, right? And so there's a song that says, which I think is I would not say it's scriptural, but it's something that, you know, I don't think the scripture says that. The song goes like this. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. Then what? Then Christ's great kingdom will come on earth. The kingdom of light, love and light, right? So the Bible says the world is going to, what? Go worse and worse before Christ comes. It's not from darkness to not light, to, you know, to prosperity, and then the Lord comes, right? And in Matthew chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is Paul's warning, by the way. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having teaching ears, and is lukewarm, or based on a man-made tradition. Right? So that's why we say, you know, if you are visiting with us, you're not a member of the church, we say that before you join us a member, you pray about it. You pray where God is leading you. You pray for our home church, that where God leads you, where you're comfortable in. Right? And so we don't just say, hey, come to our church, join us in the membership. No. Right? It has to be prayed for. Because you want to do exactly what the Lord's will is in your life, even in the area of the church, the home church, right? So number five, this verse says, God's people can see the day approaching, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, okay? So, again, we've dissected this verse, and, you know, as we see the day approaching, fast approaching, we need to be more fervent. We need to be more faithful in our church attendance. In our church attendance, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the church or you're visiting the church. Guess what? We have to be faithful. We have to be. We have to have that fellowship in the Lord. If you're saved. But if you don't know where you're going when you die, the Bible says you need to be saved. And to be saved, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? We talked about this, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? He is God. Right? He is God. And that he can actually, he provided salvation for us and all we need to do, okay, and all we need to do, and that's all you need to do, by the way, is trust in the Lord, in what the Savior has already done for us. Accept Him as your Savior. And that's it. You're on your way to heaven, right? So, though the return of Jesus Christ is imminent, it's imminent, okay? The imminent means we don't know the time, but it's coming. It's coming, right? We don't know exactly when it is. And so there's the different, you know, the pre-tribulational, post-tribulation, mid-term tribulation, rapture, right? Where do we be, what do we believe in? Okay, well, that's not the talk about, that's not the message today, but we need to be sure what we believe in, okay? Because, you see, the rapture is not preceded by specific signs in the sense that those that will precede His glorious appearing at the end of the tribulation, the age will grow increasing evil and increasingly like the days of Noah. Right? So that when that time comes, we know that Christ's coming is near. Right? But we don't know when. But if we say post-tribulation, rapture, we know when it's going to happen. It's no longer imminent. We can tell the times, right? And so we belong to the pre-tribulation, that the saints, the Christians, will be taken away first before the tribulation begins. Alright? So, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about that Wednesdays as well. Alright? So that's the Hebrews 10:25, okay? Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's switch to, Hebrews 10:25, Now let's go to the Bible reasons why a Christian should join a Bible-believing church. Alright? So we look at the 15 Bible reasons a Christian should join a Bible-believing church. Number one, the first church, which is the what? What is the first church?
Bible-believing church.
Where was it? Is it in the Church of Jerusalem? Alright? The first church had the membership in Acts chapter 1 verse 15. Let's go there, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Okay? We probably haven't looked at it this way, but the number 120 there says something. Right? It says something. So, this Jerusalem church had a list of about 120 names that made up its membership. Okay? It says there are about 120, right? In verse 15, the number of names together were about 120. You see, when the Bible talks about, it uses the word about, it doesn't mean it's not sure. Right? It's not sure. About is used commonly in Scripture to designate a number in keeping with the usual practice of the day. Right? When people were not trying to be specific, as we are in the 20th century, for example, in John 1:39, it says there, it was about the 10th hour. It was about the 10th hour, right? And so, it was not important in those days to know whether it was 9:55 or 10:05 or 9:59, right? It says there, since at that time, they didn't have watches. Okay, they didn't have clocks. So Likewise, in John chapter 6, verse 19, it says there rode about five and twenty and thirty furlongs. Right? So it says there above, right? Similarly, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 7, it describes Sapphira coming to the church about the space of 3 hours after. Above, it says there. So we must remember that the Holy Spirit inspired the words that people would normally understand and speak. You see, if you say above, that means it's not sure, right? There's no accuracy of it. But when the Bible says above, it is very accurate. Okay? So the events of John chapter 1 and verse 39 and Acts 5:7, it happened at a specific moment. Although that moment is not recorded, and the very mention of the number of names in Acts 1:15, right, shows that the collection should have existed, even though we are not told the exact number. You see, the most important thing to note here is that it's not that there were 119, there were 120 or 121, but that there were actually a number of names together. In short, a membership of definite individuals made up the church. And at that time, there were 120. About 120. So the first church had its membership. And guess what? That's why we need to become a member of the church. Why? Because it's important. There has to be a membership of the church. Number two, all those members assembled together on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says there, 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Right? They were all in one accord. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all there. The word all certainly indicates that the specific number was there. He did not say majority. He did not say several. So he did not say a few, but he said all. Right? All of those members were there at Pentecost. Okay? Number three, specific people were added to this membership on the day of Pentecost. That's why we don't believe that the church started at the day of Pentecost. Why? Because of this. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 to 1, let's go there. You're there anyways, right? Then they that gladly received his word that were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That means that when about 3,000 souls were added, they were added to an existing assembly, to existing church. Right? You cannot add something to something that does not exist. Alright? So, again, the word about has the same significance as what we talked about already. Alright? So, specific people were added to the membership at the day of Pentecost. And number four, the Lord added people to the local church. Okay, the Lord added people to the local church. In verse Acts 2:47, it says they're praising God and having favor and all the people, and the Lord, what? Added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were added to the church. The church was not the whole body of Christ, but the local church because of the context. Okay, it's not the universal church it's talking about, but it's the local church. Okay, it's the local church. The word church must be interpreted by context. For example, no one would say that the church in the wilderness was the same as the church in the New Testament, because the church in the wilderness was what? Israel, right? Israelites, okay? So, the heavenly Jerusalem as well, right? In Hebrews 12, would obviously not be a local church, but the heavenly church, right? Therefore, the church mentioned in Acts 2:47 is that church at Jerusalem that had just evangelized and baptized and was meeting in the temple, and from what? They were going from house to house, which is a pattern of what the New Testament churches should be doing, right? The church goes out visitation. Sometimes they go out two by two, which is scriptural, by the way. That's exactly what they did in the book of Acts. They went out two by two, right? And so that's exactly the pattern that we should be doing it. And number five, there was a difference between the church and outsiders. Acts chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things." Right? So, contrasting the church and others who heard these things, the church is the membership. And others that heard these things are people from outside the church. Okay? It is referring to the surprising deaths of Ananias and Sapphira when it says, "And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard the church, or as heard these things." Therefore, it must have been common knowledge that some specific persons belong to the church. Some specific people belong to the church and others did not. Right? And we must remember that the Holy Spirit inspired these words, so it was actually He that made the difference. Number six, some people did not dare to join the church. In Acts 5:13 reads, "And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." Alright? So, immediately after the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira and the subsequent miracles by the apostles, Acts chapter 5 verse 13, which we just read, tells us that the rest of durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. It was a common knowledge who belonged to the new church. Right? Who belonged to the new church? When one joins, by the way, if a visitor comes, are they joining the church? No, they don't. But if they join the church, that means they're joining at what? What are they joining if they're joining? They're joining the church membership, right? They're joining the church membership, okay? So, some people didn't, but some people did, okay? And number seven, specific members were elected officers of the church. See, again, that's scriptural, right? The apostles commanded the congregation in Acts 6:3. Let's go there, please. Acts 6:3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So they gathered and elected an officer whom they wanted to choose from among them. They were speaking to a specific group whom they knew as brethren, which are the members of the church. They said that these men were to be chosen from among you. So this man's not coming from outside, but these men, whom they were, the seven men that they were going to choose, are coming from among them, the members of the church. Right? And so, obviously, they're designating a specific group of people. Any way we look at this, there must have been a membership. Now, we're talking about membership here. What we're trying to do here is to stress the importance of being a member of the church. Because we're still going to go through this, and we'll talk about it more so that you realize the importance of membership. The membership of the church is increased in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. We're just staying in the book of Acts, by the way, because this is exactly where we can learn about the church. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." What? They were multiplied. So they increased. It clearly implies membership by saying, "Then had the churches rest," and in the last phrase there it says, "were multiplied." Right? There had to be a certain number of people to start with. Okay? There has to be a certain number of people to start with, and a bigger number when they are multiplied. To say that 50 became 250 is to designate the membership. Right? Okay, number 9. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 says, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So clearly, again, it implies membership, right? It implies membership. There had to be the church which Paul established increased in number daily. Now, such a statement would have been impossible unless they had a specific number to begin with. Right? If 23 were increased in 25 on Sunday, 28 on Monday, there was obviously a membership to start with. And the other thing too is God is not the author of confusion. Right? The church is an organized assembly of believers. It's organized, meaning they have officers. There's a pastor, there's a deacon, there's officers. Right? That's organized assembly. And so, if it's organized, there has to be a membership to begin with. Right? And number 10, elders were responsible for certain people. You see, in the church where I came from, there's 5 or 7 deacons. And each of these deacons were responsible for a certain number of members. Okay? So they were all, so every member was looked after because of the deacons who were basically an extension of the office of the pastor. Okay? So they were looking after the needs of these whoever group they're overlooking. Okay? And this is because the pastor can't do everything. Okay? As Moses, Moses' father-in-law asked him, "You cannot do such these things because you're going to burn out. You have to delegate." Right? And so that's exactly what the deacons are for, to, as an extension of the pastor of the church, they are there to help him with the ministry, right? Not necessarily the preaching. So, the Ephesian elders were told to feed the church of God, the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers in Acts 20:28. Obviously, what is the flock? The flock is the church, right? It was a specific group of people. How else could these elders carry out their responsibilities? It had to be clearly known who made up the church, the flock. But guess what? Such would mean membership of the church, right? And number 11, troublemakers came from inside and outside of the church. Okay? In Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Let's go there, please. Okay. Acts 20:29 says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." The flock is actually the church. So Paul warned us. Okay. In verse 30, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." identities are the external factors, the forces, right? Those that are from without. In verse 30, these are from within, the membership. There's also some troublemakers, right? And I think we can all relate to that. The troublemaker might be anybody, right? Don't look at me. Okay. So their dangers would come not only from grievous wolves from outside, but also from men of their own selves, of the old membership. Some were outside the church, and some were in. Again, it's talking about membership here, by the way. Right? Okay, number 12. The Corinthian church was commanded to exclude some brethren. Okay? In verse 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a trailer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which such an one know not to eat. Right? Know not to eat. So again, this is something that we need to think about. Okay? There's a membership. Okay? And from that membership, we can draw all these conclusions that yeah, there were added to the membership, and some were coming from outside to inside. Some were troublemakers. And again, in verse Matthew chapter 18, it talks about church discipline. Right? How can you exercise church discipline if there's no membership? Right? And so Matthew 28, we cannot never apply that, or 1 Corinthians 5:11 and 13, right? We cannot apply that if there's no membership. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 5:13, it says, to put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Right? And so if there's any wicked person in the church, guess what? Put away that person. Okay? Have no fellowship with him. It tells us that. There's no way to. Okay, so in verse 14, it's. But I have to close. Alright? So, any questions, by the way? We have to close. There's two more, 14 and 15. Remember, I told you there's 15 reasons why we should be a member of a Bible Baptist church, or not a Bible Baptist, but a Bible believing church. Alright? So, again, let me stress this, that the church is important, not just for our Lord Jesus Christ, but it should be also be important to each one of us, to be our child of God.